Alô,
Oh.
bom dia.
Bom dia. Aliás, aqui boa tarde.
Boa tarde. Okay, yeah. You're in Lisbon?
Yes, I'm in
Yeah.
Lisbon.
Fantastic. And I see someone else, Elizabeth Labossiere.
Yes, this is me.
I can't hear you very well.
Oh, sorry, the connection is not great. Let me see if I could connect with
You're
another.
better. You're better
You're
now.
much better. Yes, nice to meet you, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Nice to meet you guys as well. I'm so glad to be here and a part of this group.
Thank you, me too.
I think it's the first time you're here with us, right?
Yes, this is the first attend meeting that I'm attending.
And you're from where?
So I am from Burke Rehabilitation
Oh, okay. Here in New York.
in New York. So Chrysanta invited me to join because she knows that I'm part of the Haitian Health and Rehabilitation. I did a lot of work with them every year, going to, developing health fairs and things of that nature. That were interdisciplinary. And unfortunately, because of the condition of Haiti, we were not able to do it. So when I was sharing with her my experience, she said, I have a group, you could join. And I was like, I really miss doing that type of work. So she invited me to join. So here I am.
That's great.
Fantastic. And your family is Haitian?
Sorry.
Your family is
Hello.
Haitian?
Yes, so my family is Haitian. My family is Haitian.
Fantastic.
Yes.
You know, we have actually quite a few members who have some Haitian ancestry, actually.
Oh, really?
You'll get to meet. You'll get to meet Bobby Teixeira, whose mother's side of family is Haitian. You'll get to meet Tim Johnson, who's married to a Haitian, and a few others. So,
Wow, I'm excited.
so welcome. And
Thank you.
we meet every first Saturday of the month,
Okay.
and we usually have a presentation on a topic, and so it's always kind of interesting. It often tends to be about healthcare, but we're trying to diversify it and make it about culture as well, history. So we did some things for Black History Month, and we're trying to sort of learn about the Cape Verdean American history here in the United States a little bit, you know, and
That's beautiful.
so yeah, it's fun, it's fun. And as we prepare for our trip coming up, I thought this would be a great idea to have Rafaela talk to us.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, so
Although
welcome.
it's the first time that as well I'm joining, so I really hope to meet the expectation because it's a mix of what I'm doing and advocating. So
It'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. And I see some people joining us. So I say good morning, Julia, Paolo, Anibal, Roxanne, Octavio,
morning.
and yeah, good morning. And
Morning.
I know Rafaela is the first time. Is that Fatima Montero that I'm looking at? You're
Sorry?
muted, Fatima.
Okay. No, this is Fatima Andrade. It's my first time.
Oh, fantastic. Tell us about you and where you're from.
I'm from Cabo Verde, São Vicente. I am a nurse here in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Fantastic.
Yes, I came as an adult. I've been at some of your fundraisers, but
Good
now that
morning.
I'm retired after 35 years, so now I'll
Wow.
be able to do more. So I spoke with Dr. Andre Trish, and
Oh, yes.
Encouraged me to do this. So here I am.
Fantastic. I think I saw your name come through, but I didn't know. I only saw your email when you registered. I couldn't really tell. It said something Mindelo as your email address, correct?
Yes,
I didn't have any more data on you to be able to welcome you, but welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's good to be here and be part of this.
I'm glad. Yeah. Rafaela, before you start, I want to go around and introduce you to some of our members that are here with us today.
Thank you.
So that you're familiar with them, you know what they do, where they're from, where they live in the United States and other places, so you get to know who's here. So I'll go ahead and start with Samantha. Good morning, Samantha. How are you? You want to say hi to Rafaela, introduce yourself?
Hello, it's nice to meet you. I'm Samantha. I'm a urogynecology fellow out in Los Angeles.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Julia, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Julia Barboza, an adult nurse practitioner. I work in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Fantastic. Thank you, Julia. Roxanne, good morning.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
My camera's off. I apologize. I'm Roxanne from Pawtucket. I live in Pawtucket. I work at Brown University. I am a clinical researcher in outreach and engagement individuals. So welcome. I'm happy to be here and welcome to the organization.
Thank you. Paolo, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Paolo Pina, pediatrics in Providence, Rhode Island.
Fantastic. Silvestre, good morning.
Good morning, Silvestre Forbes, a retired clinical social worker in residing in Brockton since 1984.
Morning. Anibal, good morning. Are you muted, Anibal? We can hear you. I will go to Joseph as Anibal trying to connect. Joseph, good morning. Joseph. Are you working, Joseph? He's usually on the job when he signs up. We'll go to Paulina. Pauline?
Hello, this is Paulina. I am live in New London, Connecticut, but originally from New Bedford. I am a clinical associate professor at Quinnipiac University in the Department of Diagnostic Imaging. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Good morning. Octavio.
Good morning. I think I figured it out.
Joseph, good morning.
Joseph Gomes. I'm emergency medicine down in South Florida. I'm actually off today. One of those few days.
Okay, good. Great to see you. Octavio, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a retired Navy physician. I'm currently working as a contractor at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Thank you. Good to see you. Doreen, good morning, Doreen. I want you to meet Rafaela.
Hi there. Good morning. Nice to meet you. I'm Doreen DeFerry. I'm a cardiologist at Mass General Hospital. It's great to meet you. Sorry, my video's off, but I'm driving, so my son is managing the buttons.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. And we have Anibal. I think he's back. Are you back, Anibal? Okay, and we have a few others. Sandra, good morning, Sandra. Can you say hi?
Hi, good morning. This is Sandra. I'm from San Vicente, currently living in New York. Thank you.
Fantastic. And Jennifer?
Hi, this is Jennifer Groby in Northern California, clinical social worker and provider of continuing education.
That's good to hear from you. And we have iPhone 8. I'm not sure who that is.
Good morning. This is Isabel Lopes, infectious disease from Northern California. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Isabel. And who else did I miss? I must have missed someone. Ilse. I saw Ilse come through or someone. No? Are you
yes.
with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good Hi. Morning, Ilse Barros. I am in South Florida. I am a ICU nurse. Currently, I work in CVICU in University of Miami Hospital. Welcome.
Thank you. And Anibal, I think it's happening. A little bit of a hard time connecting. Are you there, Anibal? I think it keeps bouncing out. But I'm sure there'll be other people joining us, Rafael, as you begin. But I wanted to welcome you. We have, I think, two more people joining. I just wanted for you to meet them as well. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And do you want to say hi to Rafaela? You guys met, actually. You guys met the other day. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I do have a funeral, but it was a pleasure meeting you, Rafael.
Thank you. And Lenny. Lenny's with us too, correct? Good morning, Lenny.
Oh, good morning.
And Lenny is at internal medicine resident at Boston PI Medical Center. So welcome. There'll be other people joining, and then I'm hoping you can meet everyone, but unfortunately not everyone can join every week. But Rafaela, welcome. I thought it would be quite appropriate given that we are going to Cabo Verde in a couple of weeks. And one of those challenges that we run into is how to be effective teachers and learners in Cabo Verde because of the cultural dynamics that exist, particularly immigrants returning back to Cabo Verde. It creates always some issues of sensitivity, and it's important that we explore those nuances, because without really confronting them, we can't really get past them. And this is going to be part of our discussions while we're there as well. We're already beginning to develop some of those dialogues, but I thought it'd be great for you to share with us your experience of as an immigrant. Rafaela, for those that don't know, is a professor of biomedical sciences, who is a daughter of the diaspora, who of Italian Cape Verdean descent, and has taught in Spain and Portugal, and made her way down to Cabo Verde to be a leader of one of the universities there. And she's going to share with us some of her experiences. And so, Rafaela, welcome. And you can share your screen if you like. And you're more than welcome to do that and share slides. And the podium is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. First of all, I really would like to thank you, Julio, for this kind invitation to be here. It's a pleasure for me to meet all of you and finally to enter into contact with all of you, because indeed I do think that joining forces is extremely important for us to pursue projects in Cape Verde, and this is exactly what I'm doing, and I'm continue to do, and I will continue to do, because it's indeed what Cape Verde as well, I feel, that needs in order to tackle issues and especially health issues on different side of the coin. So I will share my slides. I prepared a presentation exactly, not sure actually about what you might wanted. So I prepared a presentation that is in, an introduction of myself, of what I'm doing and what I'm advocating and what I'm trying to do with the Cape Verde to leverage a bit the organization of the many data and many studies that are being done there, but especially the science, right, that we can all start to do. So please interrupt me anytime. Feel free, because this is a conversation, and I really would love to hear your opinion about many things that I can present, but I will try to be short for having more discussion. So I was born in Italy, and I'm coming from this very beautiful place, which is called Le Langhe. So it's exactly this, is a village nearby where I'm from. It is famous for wine, for truffles, for chocolate. And the city is called Alba, and this is the city of Ferrero Rocher and Nutella. So just for you to localize it a bit. So, and then I moved to Parma to do my, so it was pre-Bologna type of studies. So I went there for a course on chemistry and the pharmaceutical technology. So when, as I said, I'm a bit old, so everything was joined together, the bachelor and the master at that time. And then I went back to Alba and started working on a company. But the most scientific part of that...
That's flowers. That's coconut. That's chestnut.
Sorry?
No, can I?
Can you hear me?
Open But we just came from the bakery.
Yes.
Madeline.
That's an Italian brand.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, so then I moved to Alba, but I really missed to do science because indeed in the company, the only scientific thing, let's call it like this, it was measuring the pH of some components that we were using. So I decided to enroll myself in a new master and a PhD degrees, because indeed investment in knowledge pays the best interest, and we all know that. And I went to Lérida, which is a city nearby Barcelona in Spain, where I did where I took my PhD in neurobiology, studying more neuronal growth and the cell pathways related to neuronal differentiation and cell death at the Faculty of Medicine of the University of Lérida. And while I was doing my PhD, then I was a visiting scientist also in Lisbon at the Gulbenkian Institute of Science, where then I stayed for my postdoctoral training. And in the last 2 years, I was promoted to staff scientist. So during my PhD, the research I was conducting, it was more on neurobiology and neurodegenerative diseases, while during my postdoctoral training, it was most on inflammation and tropical diseases, especially severe forms of malaria, different kind of bacterial pathogens we were using on preclinical models, but especially focused on iron metabolism. And I have a very much interested in iron metabolism and iron related pathologies, both when they have iron, when they involve iron deficiency or iron overload, because indeed in Europe, there is a high prevalence of iron overload related pathologies, namely hemochromatosis. Then I decided actually to join all the fields I was knowing something about and training during my training in just one project. And this is how I established my lab at Nova Medical School, Nova University of Lisbon, by studying the role of inflammation and immunity on the development and the severity of neurodegenerative diseases, especially Parkinson's disease. always focused on iron metabolism because we know that iron is important everywhere, right? So, but I'm also advocating for, as soon as I entered in that career and as a group leader in a, not in a medical school. So in Europe, there is, in Europe and is everywhere, there is this discrepancy between genders according to positions, right? So we can find a lot of students at the master's, students, a PhD and postdoctoral levels, women. But then as soon as you move a little bit up, then rates start to drop dramatically. So I'm starting really to pay attention to that because indeed there are many opportunities that were not, simply you could not apply, right? Although legally you can, but then in the requirement that they were asking because of dedication time, then you cannot, you have a lot of limitation. And unfortunately things are, so we're like this at the beginning when I'm started, but actually are getting better and better. But this is indeed is what I'm advocating to my students, right? So to show muscles from the very beginning and to draw lines that you cannot allow then people to cross, especially, but they are allowing you to perform the next step. But then I started to ask, because I'm an African descendant, I'm Cape Verdean, I have my Cape Verdean nationality, and I started to ask, okay, but do these questions like equal opportunities, or do we have the family and professional support, can also be applied and are reflecting the reality of all Africans and African descendants as well, especially in Europe. I cannot speak for US, you will, about that. But indeed, I see that there is no equal opportunities for African and African descendants. So there is a major effort that has been done so far in terms of gender. But then if we really needed to say, okay, do we have equal opportunities about race and about ethnicity, and our Cape Verdean have the same equal opportunities than Europeans? So the answer is still no. So what I can do therefore about that, right? So, and this is something that I'm also asking you to pay more and more attention, because indeed we need this data as well on that, because nobody question numbers. They might question opinion, they might question perception, but nobody question numbers. And this is what indeed we need still to collect. And the first thing I did, since I'm, because of my training, I'm participating as you do in many scientific conferences worldwide, and I started to pay attention to how many Africans and African descendants are attending to the conference. And in the last I went, which we organized, I'm one of the director of the International Society for the Study of Iron in Medicine and Biology, it's called BioIron. And actually in the last conference that we organized, I counted 3 people, and it's too low, especially because most of the research that we are doing is mentioning Africa quite a lot of time. Most of the time samples are collecting in Africa, are focusing, most of their investigations are focusing on tropical diseases. So then we cannot not have representation. And this is something that I also started to do very consistently, in a way that talking to pharmas, talking to biotech companies, to not simply sponsor the organization of the conference, but really sponsor fellowships and covering the expenses of registration, traveling, and allocation of hours. African scientists to really dislocate from the continent to the venue of the conference, because it's indeed a prohibitive expense, prohibitive cost for someone that does not sometimes have the resources already to conduct the research, but they want to attend because they want to learn more. So As well, again, I'm asking you to join effort because indeed I do think that all together we can really make the difference, starting from our country and then expanding to others. So what I'm trying to do is to act on both sides, right? So in Africa, what I'm doing is really trying to see how we can interact, and then we can speak again about that. But as well in developed countries, because I raised this issue actually in my university and in many universities here in Europe, we don't find many professors that are indeed Africans or African descendant. We don't find institute directors that are African or African descendant, and we need to wonder why, because we need really to see whether this issue starts, right? It might not be already, it might not be related just to university, but to the entire educational system. And, you know, it's a nice talking when you said developing human capital, but we needed to take the sentence out of the paper, and we really needed to be proactive in what we do and in what we advocate. So this is my, let's call it activism side, and is the way that allow me actually to start to be interested in doing something that is more applied. And when I'm saying applied, it's not simply applied science, but is indeed applied to society, right? And started to engage the interest of our students that they would love to participate in studies or in research projects, and they could not. Because indeed, when we see sentences, quotes like this, like science has no country, is it true? The knowledge belongs to humanity. Is it true? Because most of the people sometimes cannot afford to get informed, cannot afford to get access to, for instance, international scientific papers, because they need to pay subscription, and they cannot, right? So we really need to stop a moment and see, okay, where the problem is, how we can propose solutions to then really promote what is what we are used even to take for granted. And this is why I went to Cape Verde, and I started to get this platform, and it was a very interesting, and I'm very glad to have accepted the opportunity. So I did not apply, I was appointed, right? I was asked, I was offered to go there and lead the new university in Mindelo, the Atlantic Technical University. And I was very glad when I received this invitation, because I indeed thought, okay, that's great, because we are collaborating and we are used to collaborate with many people in different countries, and we can simply join forces and try to do something which is exactly what we are used to do here, so in Cape Verde. And I went there also because I'm very disappointed as an African and as a scientist when I'm seeing in conferences that Africa is mentioned like a sort of footnote at the very end, without giving credit to anybody. I'm even seeing papers mentioning Cape Verde as a northern tropical country without even saying names, but we are talking about nature paper, nature medicine paper, et cetera, et cetera. So there is no giving credit, and this is not fair. So I was thinking that it was great for me to get this platform, because indeed would have allowed me to advocate much more what I was already doing, but also to teach them to pay really attention that if you give me samples, is not simply giving me samples, because indeed my research might be based on that samples. So you really need to be credited for and rewarded for. So I started to develop an interest also in the ocean and in the environment. And I was very glad to even participate in the elaboration of strategies for the next 5-year period of scientific research in Cape Verde, which allowed me also to know what is the definition that most institutions give to research, which is not exactly what sometimes we are used to. How they are doing research, which there is a lot to do about, and which is the importance that they give to which topic. And there is a lot of education that needs to be done as well for that, because the issue then is not simply to educate for educate and have a cultural knowledge about that, but is indeed because of funds, they are usually coming from the developed world, right? So you need to follow strict rules in order then to be positively evaluated, which most of the time does not occur. And I'm talking here about European funds, which are given once without the possibility of applying for an extension to the same funds in case they would have been positively evaluated. So there are things that need to be really discussed and then try to implement also from a project management point of view, not simply research. But then this is how I get as well excited while I was in Mindelo, also two programs that US mainly has about combining research and entrepreneurship and different kind of other skills. And I was at that time contacted by Ari Jakubowicz, who is the coordinator management of the MIT Africa program. So he's doing an amazing job. He's one person for one entire continent. Of course, this was not... I want really to emphasize this because it was a collaborative effort. So the MIT Africa is implemented now in Cape Verde, but it was thanks to the interest of our many diaspora friends that joined forces together to really contribute for this to be a reality. And last year, I got a student even to join a project and started to define preliminary data that I will talk about this later on. And this was not the first time I participated in mobility programs created for students or academics. I participated in different others, from PhDs to master students in Mindelo with the WASCAL, to training of high school students that is finishing even today, about the NGO that is operated in West Africa. And then as a primary school, even with others, which planning has been developed. This is, I put this slide because this is indeed something that we really need to reinforce in Cape Verde. In Cape Verde, and I'm talking about Cape Verde and talking worldwide, but there is a small country, and this message really needs to pass through. We rise by lifting others, not by pulling others down, okay? So, and this is something that we might talk afterwards, but indeed is a message that needs to be really stressed. And this is why as well, last year, we created what is a network, is called the Diaspora Mundi, which is a service that is being provided to institutions about communications, about scientific writing, to write grants. Most of the time they have difficulties because they don't know how to speak in English, but or write in English, but even if they do, you know, it's not that you write a letter, you write a grant proposal. So you really need to empower them in order then to do so. And we are doing other kind of services. But the purpose as well of this network is also something that, so there is, as Julio was saying at the beginning, there is sometimes this lack of trust, let's call it like this, this conflict behavior between local Cape Verdean and the diaspora Cape Verdean. And this was thought about, okay, how we can help them and show that we are really helping them by providing what they want or what they do not have time to do without taking any credit besides that is a service. So it's simply outsourcing what they might want to pursue. And this is how we thought that we can promote in progress, even scientific progress. But then it's a transfer of idea, it's an exchange of idea. And this is how we get to the, let's call it scientific part. But the interest that I have and that I try to join with people that are sharing the same interest in different kind of fields. So across different scientific sector is really to provide a research that joins different sectors, is a multidisciplinary and transdisciplinary research that allows then to take informed decision, because this is indeed what we need the country to do, but they can also educate people that do not relate to that sector, right? So, and this is how we started this project, that is how environment modulate diseases. So we are doing this in collaboration with the Jean Piaget University and the National Institute of Public Health, because indeed it's something that is needed. Is needed to join forces between sectors, but as well is needed to join funds that sometimes are lacking on one side, but then they are present on the other, right? So how we can then capitalize the resources. This is an investigation. Usually, if you do a search on PubMed or whatever, or Web of Knowledge or whatever, so you can really find CELO's investigations. So how then we can integrate all at once, because indeed, whatever regards the environment is strictly related to health. And this because climate change, as you know, influence pathogen adaptation. There is the appearance of new environmental related strains also in Cape Verde. So there have been many investigations that have been done, but they needed data needs to be collected, so and needs to be organized in a way that we can then publish the story or advertise the story. Here, I'm not even thinking about, like a scientist, like a big impact factor paper. I'm not thinking about that, but collecting the data in order then to canalize the resources on the right path, because this is indeed what missing Cape Verde is missing, because most of the time there is help where in sector where there is no need for that help, but every help corresponds to a package of resources, right? So why then not identifying specific fields that might be leveraged and the country might profit the most? And also regarding mosquitoes. So there is, again, studies, many studies that have been done, even mapping areas in different cities, especially in Praia as well, in different neighborhoods, where homemade extracts for mosquitoes have been created, because indeed we do have a lot of creative researchers, a lot of creative students that does the job. to then see which might be the areas that are more sensitive and they might need more, let's say, surveillance or monitoring programs to be implemented. And also because we need to really think about the preparedness. So Cape Verde now is malaria free. And okay, they did, they implemented measures as well in that direction, but let's be honest, the climate change helped out the country a lot. In all those years where there was no rain and there was a dry climate, so mosquito doesn't like that. So if we want to be really honest, Cape Verde as well was lucky in becoming malaria free. But we cannot prevent a mosquito from flying there. And why not, which is the preparedness plan for that? The massive insecticides does not work, and we know, but what can be done? And this is a scary field to me, because indeed we have an outbreaks of dengue again. And once in a while, we have this kind of infectious diseases, right? So how we can, from a research point of view as well, from a surveillance and monitoring point of view, with all of you guys, how can we draft some preparedness plan for Cape Verde based on data, for Cape Verde to really study it and considering it? And also because, for instance, I'm talking for here in Portugal during summer, there were tropical diseases in Portuguese population, because indeed the mosquito does not stop to fly, right? So it's something that needs to be tackled. But the impact of health needs as well to be studied in terms of nutrition habits, because the poverty of the country impact as well nutrition. So we need to stop most of the time to talk about it is important to eat healthy. Of course, I know that is important, but there is sometimes the difficulty in assessing healthy food. So to me is a bit a bit of hypocrisy by saying in communities that are poor communities, not privileged communities at all, advocating the importance of eating healthy, okay? So we need first to tackle agriculture, and then we will start to tackle habits. And but this to me is very important as well from a researcher point of view, because indeed I'm interested, as I said before, in iron metabolism and especially in anemia, right? So nutritional anemia and the anemia of inflammation due to diseases that people are getting, especially infectious diseases, right? Is something that is interesting me from a research point of view, because what I'm trying to do is to join forces with people that are interested as well to study that and to start already collecting data in the country. So we know that in Cape Verde it's very difficult to discriminate between these two forms, right? Because of the coexistence most of the time of these two forms. But there are also sometimes no compiled data on anemia. And when the WHO is providing supplements in Cape Verde, and I read an interesting article from 2016, which of course then was there were no significant data on it. So it was inconclusive because no preliminary study was done before to see whether that segment of the population was needing folate or was needing vitamin B12 or was needing whatsoever, right? So there is a lot of things that indeed can be compiled in order to provide to then international entities even that are trying to help the country with some sort of health related solutions. And this is what we are doing here in Lisbon in my lab, So we are, as I said, we are not clinicians, so we do not pretend even. So we are working with mice and we are inducing diseases in mice, right? And we are measuring erythropoiesis profile, innate adaptive immunity profile, inflammatory, etc. And we are even mimicking nutritional habits, which is how then I got interested in which type of nutrition there is in Cape Verde, because with mice, you can then customize a deficient diet, so nutrition deficient diet, right, with some nutrition or micronutrients or iron deficiency that you might be interested in. And especially for iron, I'm very interested because there is this need to really know which is the status as well of the iron levels. There are a lot of, there is a lot of people that do not have iron, especially during gestation. And then unfortunately there is the prevalence of retardation in the country is increasing. And I think that you know. So what we can do as from a preclinical point of view, but the collecting data to show that actually we can, let's say, build up a sort of prediction from our preclinical data that things then in the country might go this way if not implemented some solutions that is related, right? So we have as well transgenic, et cetera. And now what we are doing is really to see the risk, the predisposing risk of anemia versus other complex diseases like neurodegeneration is one of our interests as well, but also because there is no criteria that is unified in Africa to really diagnose neurodegenerative diseases. There is no instrumentations as well to do so. So let's see the tapping, the CT scan in Cape Verde, right? So it's on and off, there is just one, sometimes there is zero. So how then symptoms can be diagnosed? Most of the time are even underestimated, especially in community, which I do think that they deserve more attention because indeed there might be some sort of awareness that might need to be raised over there. And this is actually what we are there for study, and I wanted to show you that. Especially, as I said, because I'm very concerned about the mosquito prevalence and about the transmission of diseases. And from an interesting point of view of research and clinics, there is this genetic component, right? So the variability of the genetic population is not restricted simply to human beings, but is also affecting organisms like mosquitoes. And I'm mentioning here, for instance, the dengue outbreak in 2001, where there were islands where mosquitoes has been dissected and screened genetically for their competence to transmit the dengue virus. And there were islands where those mosquitoes were not competent enough to really transmit diseases. So then, that can be also some information that is really interesting from a scientific point of view to potentially see what can be done as well in order to tackle this issue. Yes, this is what was my presentation, and I thank you for it. I hope not to have been too long. And I'm really glad now if we can speak more about what you would like to ask.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is fascinating talk, and we're very appreciative for you taking the time to be here with us today. I'm going to open it up for comments and questions, and I was going to ask Madeline to say hi, and maybe Madeline, do you have a question? Are you there? And if anyone wants questions, please you put your hand up, use your hand signal to keep it orderly.
So yes, hi, I'm here. It's a very exciting presentation, and Yeah, we're always looking for ways to see how we can collaborate in the future. So I'll be, she should be in touch hopefully soon.
Thank you.
Great. Luis Barros, good morning.
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Any comments? Yeah,
I had a chance to see her presentation early last week. You know, I was curious, Rafaela, when you're looking at all the various initiatives that you have, what is it going to take for you to have something really solid to do with some of the studies around infectious disease? Do you need more foundations to support you? Do you need more study cases? Do you need more support for your mice lab? What is it that you need to make that really solid?
Yeah, so thank you for saying that, because here I to me that question is extremely important, because I don't want to give the idea that I would like to have more funds for my lab. So my lab in Lisbon, it works separately, but we are using those data to try to build up prediction models, right, of what can be a potential reality scenarios in Cape Verde if things might go in that direction. So indeed, to have more funds, it would help institutions in Cape Verde to collect the data and organize the data. That is essential to me, but not simply more funds, because most of the time Cape Verde has already the funds. We cannot continue. I think that this is something that might be really taught how to tackle and how to handle that. There are funds for climate change research, there are funds for health research, but needs to be really well canalized, well directed. And especially it needs to be an impact assessment done for every kind of activity that the country is promoting, because there is then no need to continue to do exactly the same without an impact evaluation. So there is therefore a combination. This is why data are important, right, to collect. When I'm saying that I'm collaborating with Cape Verde, I'm really pinpointing institutions that are willing to put their effort in pursuing this research. So yes, we need more funds. We need more people that show their genuine interest in helping out the country, which is therefore exciting to talk to you, because we share that, all our diaspora share that, to help the country and the country as well. There are many, many people that want change to be implemented, and they want to see results. But indeed, the mentality of results driven needs still to be implemented. It's not the first stone launching. It's not that, it's the progress that first stone provides. And that needs really to be, it's a message that needs to be reinforced.
Thank you, that's fantastic. Other questions, anyone? I wanted to ask you, going there and being on the ground, working in Cabo Verde side to side with other colleagues there, what was your biggest challenge?
Yeah, look, polite, sincere, or official reply?
I'm one sincere.
Yeah, so I'm joking, but it was tough. It was really tough. It was the first time I was living in Cape Verde since over 10 years, I was coming and going, but for maximum period of 2-3 weeks of interaction. It was tough because we are used to a different speed, first of all. So our speed is, it does not stop. Does not stop at night, does not stop in the weekend, does not stop anywhere and for any reason. First that, so they are not used to that. And that it was indeed a challenge. That is from 9 to 5 sometimes, weekends excluded. and doesn't work like this. Science doesn't work like this. Medicine doesn't work like this. But indeed, there is this problem with medicine as well. And you guys, I'm sure that you face it all the time, right? So yeah, that is the first challenge. The second is result-driven and not number of appearance driven, or let's call it protagonism. So are two different things. So regardless of who then is presenting, is the result that counts, and not the people that presented. Even I can present it, but it's the result. You can present it, it's you, because the result, because indeed there is still so there is a message that needs to really be reinforced as well, that is the collective effort. It's never one person, it's never two person, is a joint force, a joint effort. And this is still, yeah, it does not go that way, right? So yeah, those were the two main things. But then the if there is something as well that to me is important to say, is that when you go from the diaspora to Cape Verde, because especially you know that they need that, but you are asked to, as you guys are going there, is not that you need to adapt to the way that there is there. You need to as well, you need to integrate and you need to interact, don't get me wrong. But you cannot slow down your rhythm, or you cannot change the way that you know that works, because there are not used to. That you cannot do, because this does not mean help the progress, right? So to me, so therefore, this is something that I was said many times. In Cape Verde, we are not used to that speed. That's okay. I can slow down from 100 to 80 kilometers per hour, but I cannot, stop walking simply because people are used not to walk. And that's something that needs to be, this is why I think that change is implemented mostly from the diaspora. My strategy at the university that was not well accepted as well, it was to internationalize everything, not because I wanted to exclude the people at all. I wanted to share knowledge, because we grow together. It's not a transfer from the diaspora to Cape Verde. No, not at all. It's an exchange. Because we have to offer, we need to learn from them, and they have to offer to us as well. It's an exchange. But the internationalization is not accepted most of the time, because it's scary. So I do remember when, so my comparison, therefore, is like, at the beginning, I remember more than 30 years ago, when computers started to be part of our life, is exactly the same. So we needed at some point a huge effort from all of us to learn how to take notes from a piece of paper to using Word, right? Is exactly the same, but it's an effort that most of the time needs to be made, without knowing that in 30 years from now, from where we were, thinking about not having a computer in our life is something that it blows our mind.
Sure, yes, right? Yeah. Indeed. Any other questions? Did you feel threatened? Did you feel were a threat to people there? Did it perceive you as being a threat to them?
Okay, yeah. That I think, yes, because most of the time, so my attitude is I was helped, right? I have a huge number of people I have to thank in my life, because they taught me science, and they taught me how to do things, and they, you know, we interacted. So the same way I feel I can do with others, still learning, because I never stop learning, okay? But yeah, they don't feel that way. At least is my opinion and my experience. And if you don't show that you know, is something that you cannot do, because it seems that yeah, you are not worthy of that position. You are not. So just to make an example, I'm not an expert in maritime transportation at all. I was not there because of maritime transportation. It doesn't make sense otherwise, to think otherwise, right? So anytime I had a meeting with the, in that sense for maritime transportation, I was bringing the professors with me and I was asking their opinion, but that is not common. Because indeed, it seems that there is the need to know everything about everybody. And that's crazy. You can never do like this. But there is an ashamed inner feeling that if you don't, or if you simply say, I don't know, then you feel inferior. And this is a stigma that needs to be cut out, of course.
Interesting, very interesting. iPhone number 8 has a hand up and has questions.
Hi, this is Isabel. Very exciting to hear research in infectious diseases. I do have great presentation, by the way. Thank you very much. I do have a question. Did you ever feel discouraged in your mission? There's a lot of challenges there. There's a lot of work to be done. Did you ever feel discouraged? And what keeps you engaged and interested in wanting to give back?
Okay, so that's a great question, and I'm asked that all the time. So indeed that I felt discouraged. I was fired. I did not leave my position. I did not want to leave. I was fired, and that was the only way they kicked me out of the country. But yeah, to be honest, okay, so I was given the opportunity to leave anytime, many times, but I didn't want to. And I said, no way, you need to be fire me, because you need to explain why I can work in every country. And I mean, mobility is part of our life, so, but I cannot work in my country. Why I can work in countries where we have a complete different cultures, like in China, like in Australia, like, in US or many other in Europe that are different from Italy or Portugal or Spain, and not in my country. Why I can collaborate with Africa and not with my country? Of course, I felt discouraged, but the driving force is to show them the results at the very end. The driving force is to join forces with all of you, showing that it's possible to do things differently in the benefit of the country, because that was the only... So many people thought that I wanted to pursue political career. I don't. I really don't. Many people felt threatened about international contacts that I have without passing through a centralized political system. But which is the point, right? So if then the reason is so that our result is what it counts, well, I sleep well if everybody gets a set. But if the result then is implemented, then it's okay to me, because they will see at the very end which was my willingness and which was my interest. And yeah, this journey, yeah. I love Cape Verde, I do. And this is as well the reason for which I'm always coming back. They can kick me out anytime they want, but I'm always coming back.
I've shared similar experiences. My first trip to Cabo Verde trying to do something was 20 years ago. And I was not very well welcomed when I first went, you know. I showed up with my laparoscopy tower and was trying to wire everything myself. And they would step over around me and say, "What is this guy? He's crazy. What is he doing here?" You know, it took a long time. It took 20 years to gain acceptance. And now with all of you here, I'm able to do a lot more. We're all able to do a lot more because we have the power of numbers. And so I think being organized in the diaspora is a very, very important thing. And yeah. To be able to collaborate, not just with Cabo Verde, but other parts of Africa, is going to be extremely important. And I think we have Samantha with us, which I think brings us to another very interesting opportunity that Samantha's going to share with us. So Samantha, hi.
Hi, give me a second here to load my PowerPoint. Are you seeing my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. So I am going to present on a startup company that my husband and I have launched in the last month. And it's very related to bringing the diaspora to help, you know, our focus is on the healthcare sector, but we share a similar sentiment. And so the name of the company is Top Up Care. It's a subscription-based healthcare plan that people in the diaspora can sponsor or pay for their loved ones who are still overseas. And it comes out of this experience of, you know, some of us spend a lot of money overseas often when people get sick, but we, and especially if you're tangentially related to medicine, sometimes you're the person that people call and say, like, who can I, where can I go, you know, if I broke an elbow, my mom broke her elbow in Cabo Verde, and I didn't know anywhere in terms of where to send her or who to connect her to. And so part of what we're doing is trying to address that pain point. And people often wonder, like, why focus on Africa? There's, you know, there's no money there, da da da, all these problems. But actually, we have found that there's a lot of people sending money into the continent to the tune of $13 billion in terms of just healthcare remittances. And remittance is a formal name for money that people send back home to their loved ones, those who have emigrated out. There was a World Bank study that found that a lot of this is chewed up in transfer fees, so up to 12%, and that maybe a quarter of it actually gets spent on healthcare, and then the rest is sort of just unaccounted for. And then we also know that for people with means, when you do get sick on the continent, there's a huge business in terms of people leaving Africa to get healthcare. And the most common destinations for that would be things like, would be places like the Dubai, India, Turkey, Thailand. And so people on the continent spend about $8 billion a year to go overseas to get healthcare. And some of that is coming from this initial pile, this bucket right here that's coming from the outside. But it's significant. And every time people go on these trips, it's somewhere between $12,000 and $20,000 a pop. So sometimes you're a family member who is in the US or somewhere else, somebody gets sick, we're raising money for this person, and it's a lot of money that we have to spend to be able to get them out of the continent to get healthcare. So that's something that we're also thinking about. At the same time, Africa is the youngest continent in the world. It's the fastest growing, but it's also much sicker than prior generations. So even though it only accounts for about 11% of the world's population, it has 25% of the world's chronic disease burden right now. And we expect that that's probably going to get worse, and only 2% of the world's doctors. And I share this stat because it's an indicator of the health of the healthcare system. It's not because doctors are going to solve this problem, but just to give you an idea, in sub-Saharan Africa, there's one doctor for every 5,000 people. And so in countries like US and Canada, it's more like one doctor for every 250 or 280 people. The World Health Organization says that the right ratio is somewhere between one, is somewhere around one doctor for every 400 people. And in Africa, it's one doctor for every 5,000. So there's a severe physician shortage on the continent. And we kind of, I think in this group, understand a lot of the mechanisms for why that is. And so what we're trying to do is harness some of the pool of money that's coming from the diaspora into the continent for healthcare and just giving people a better option. So what we are doing is finding the top clinics in every market that we enter. So the first place that we launched is in Liberia. So we went to Liberia, we found all the top clinics there. Because people are there and they are ready to provide this service. It's just really hard as a primary care provider or any medical specialist really to stay in business. But we find these clinics, we vet them. If it's a place that we would send our family members, we add them to our network. And then the idea is that I, for example, can send or can sponsor a plan for my aunt who's in Cabo Verde, for example, and she will then get a primary care doctor. She'll get a patient-centered medical home, is what we would call it in the U.S. And so we expect her to go there to get her basic, you know, chronic disease screening, cancer screening, and any follow-ups that she needs. And one of the ways we're trying to support the primary care doctors and sort of entice them to join our network is to also provide a network of e-consult specialists that they can tap into whenever they have questions about whether they need to, you know, follow up a finding for this patient or where should I send them or what else, you know, diagnostically can we do? And so one of the asks I have of this group is to consider being a specialist in that pool of e-consult, you know, physicians. And so what that would look like is that if you are added to our network, you would get e-consults from African primary care physicians. It's de-identified patient information, so it's not considered direct patient care for you. And so it doesn't really conflict with most employer agreements. We are soliciting you for your healthcare knowledge. And so you would be answering the clinical question. Once the consult is completed, you get paid for that consult. If you don't have time that day, for example, to answer the consult, you could just decline it and then it goes to a different subspecialist in the field. So there's no minimum requirement in terms of your involvement. It's something that you can do as your time allows and get compensated for it. And then in the future state, we want to see if we can facilitate our e-consult specialists doing some teaching virtually for, and maybe someday in person for our primary care providers on the ground. So that's one big opportunity for people to join this movement. A second one is that we're going to need clinic and hospital partnerships. I mentioned in my email earlier this week, we started in Liberia, but we plan to expand to six other countries by next year, Cabo Verde being one of them. And so I'm going to be looking for people in Cabo Verde to, you know, join our network of private clinics, but also ultimately we're trying to facilitate in-country secondary care referrals too. So we're going to need to partner with hospitals as well. And then lastly, anyone you think would be a strategic partner for us, even if they're not a clinician or they're not affiliated with hospitals, if it sounds like something that somebody you know would be interested in partnering in whatever capacity. We're an early stage startup, so we kind of need all the help and advice and expertise we can get. So we welcome any of that. So those are my three asks. I think most, they're all very important, but I think most important right now is that we really want to develop a very robust e-consult network to service the continent. So if you're interested, just let me know. I'll drop my email in the chat and then we can take it from there.
Great, thank you so much, and
yeah,
we'll take any final questions. anyone else. I just want to put out also, go on our website, get some swag, help support the organization, you know, as we prepare to go on a trip. And those going on a trip, please bring some swag with you. And we have a lot of interesting things going on. For those who are not participating on any committees, please, we have a lot of great committees in nursing and development committee. Yeah, we have a research committee. We have an education committee, which is led by Madeline. So there's a lot of great opportunities to be an active member. Don't be shy. We want you to get involved. And I just reach out to me or to Madeline or to Grisanta or Delina. We're all here. And it's a great community. And again, Rafaela, thank you so much for being with us here today. And
thank you.
Any final comments from anyone? Anibal, I know you've been in and out. We haven't heard from you. Are you there? Do you have any comments? No. Okay.
May I ask something from you while you are going on the missions there? Collect data. Can be history of the patient, can be data about specific diseases, can be, but the country needs really to start to be screened, and the prevalences of the diseases really need to be compiled, because no as well discrimination between different islands. Yeah. Most of the time it's all just a prevalence and just a number without knowing whether possibly more monitoring programs need to be implemented specifically in some locations.
Yeah, we are doing that. Madeline, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so one of the things that we want to make sure that happens for any of our folks who are going over for cultural exchange is that they have an opportunity to present at our annual meeting. And that's going to be held now again at Brown University the last weekend of September, so that everyone who goes knows that we're not just going to have an experience and then keep it to ourselves. Whatever we learn, we're going to bring back to the group and we're going to use for future endeavors. We're working up to a plan, do, study, act type of theory, because every time we go, we want to make sure that we're being more and more effective, but also keeping that communication strong. And I'm very proud of the nursing committee is going to have a seminar coming up. We're actually going to be needing to do a run through in a couple of minutes here, but because and they've been working with the nurses on nursing specific questions. So the presentations are all focused to answer the questions that have been asked from folks in country. And then we're going to take back their feedback so that when we go again, they can again be even more specific. So it's, and we also want to be learning from them too.
Yes, you know, yes.
They have knowledge for us. So it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Research is a critical part of our mission. Education and research we see as fundamental to our mission. With that, for instance, Doreen is going to be doing a rheumatic heart disease screening program. They're looking at screening about 650 kids in San Domingos alone. We'll have plenty of data on that to present. Yeah. Lenny Diaz, which is here. Lenny, are you there?
We were supposed to have
Lenny is currently.
Yeah.
Lenny, do you want to share just briefly with Rafaela what you're doing, just so she's aware?
Yeah, sure. There might be a baby in the background. So we are, for the trip, we're going to be taking, we're going to be caring for patients in the primary care setting with hypertension, diabetes, and we'll be collecting all of the data and trying to compile those. And hopefully there can be some continuity as well so that we can compare data between different trips on the similar patients to see, you know, whether or now we can see like a difference as far as like numbers go for like A1C and things of that nature.
Can you tell her a little bit about also what you're doing here in Boston?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I had that. You had like about the trip. So here in Boston, so I'm part of the team doing some population health studies in the Cape Verdean population here in Boston. There's a large community in the Massachusetts area and Boston off Cape Verdean that recently immigrated or second and third generation that get their care at the hospital where I work. So we're doing just a descriptive study to essentially look at the health status and health care usage from the Cape Verdean population, and also looking at screening rates and all of those things. So it's like very interesting, and there's no other research like that that's been done in the Cape Verdean community here.
So we have currently a database of like 13,000 patients that Lenny is working on. So a lot of great stuff. And Roxanne, yeah. Roxanne is a research specialist as well, and she's part of our research committee and our development community. So we have a lot of interest in developing screening in regard to breast cancer in Providence. I don't know, Roxanne, if you want to comment a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have recently, I'm an oncology specialty, and I didn't mention that before, but we have recently partnered with the local Cape Verdean community here in Pawtucket, in Providence. And there is going to be it's not strictly breast cancer, but there's going to be an oncology clinic starting at Miriam Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island, that will have a Portuguese physician. And we have definitely communicated that to our community here, especially in Pawtucket. We have many Cape Verdean folks. So that's really exciting. And my area of expertise is in women's cancer is breast, and although it's not just women that get that. So we'd really like to do something in that respect for collaboration. And anyone that I can collect data, when you all go to Cape Verde, if I can help in any way, please let me know. That's my contribution. And I'm not a surgeon, so I can at least do that. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Fascinating stuff. So much great energy we have here. And we look forward to having the rest of you and the future trips. The call out is there for June. We have our pacemaker team getting started, Doreen leading our cardiology program. We have neurosurgery probably in June as well, and some primary care. So we'll also have another trip in October. So start thinking about how you can contribute and be a part of this, and we'll look forward to having you there soon. So we'll be there in 2 weeks. Again, thank you so much, everyone. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you when we come back in May for our next monthly meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.